This podcast is part of the No Phony Podcast Network, the home of independent awesomeness.
I'm not a fan of dating. I want to go deep.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of On the Road with Jim and Casey. With me, as always, James Morganti.
That's right.
Joining us today, relationship coach and co-author of Dating Backward, a practical guide to dating and finding your soulmate, Rick Sodabier. Good to have you, man.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, Rick, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, in its short form, I'm a dating and relationship coach. I help singles make better decisions about the people they date and the relationships they get into. It's just that simple. What I found out years ago, and even looking back at through the years that I've dated and my marriage, I look back at all the mistakes I made, and I've talked to literally hundreds of people, and we've all made similar mistakes. So I recognize the need for some guidance on the front end of a relationship as opposed to the back end. There's so many people working on the back end because we have so many broken relationships. I've recognized that if we do the work on the front end, we don't have as much work to do on the back end.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on, I'm just immediately going into a lot of the popular things. You know, I watched your video, your one video that's on Facebook, and you know, you're using things like football game, athletes and Olympians and how they know exactly what needs to be done. I mean, not that we're promoting to be like athletes and treating your women. What's that guy that dragged her like a rag doll and threw in the elevator? What's his name? Rage. Anyway, not that we're saying that, but I like how, you know, you kind of like said that because like there's so many people that date the same way in the same style almost. They don't grow in a way of, oh, maybe I should avoid key characteristics of abuse, addiction, you know what I mean, or whatever. But I want to get into for a second just some questions from, you know, some viewers and whatnot. What are your thoughts? And I studied this for a while. On the five love languages, or like the Enneagrams and that stuff. Have you dove into that at all?
Oh yeah, the five love languages. I'm a big proponent of. I even in my book we talk about the importance of dating somebody with similar love languages. And it doesn't mean that you can't date somebody that doesn't speak similar love languages. It just makes life that much more difficult. And I use the analogy of, you know, we're born here in the United States and we speak English. And if we were to move to France or to Germany, can we speak those languages and learn those languages? Absolutely. But it takes us a long time to become acclimated, to become fluent in those languages. And I contend that we can have much greater, much stronger communication and much stronger connection if we're dating somebody that speaks similar love languages, you know. And it's really, for me, I'll use me as an example. My ex and I had very different love languages, and one of her primary love languages was gifts. And when you do the five love languages quiz, gifts doesn't even register on my list. You know, it's that far down. And it's, you know, I tell the story in workshops that when I was a young boy, probably 10, 12 years old, walking down the main street of my hometown, just struggling, trying to figure out what to get my mom for Christmas. And I've recognized that I'm not a gift giver. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that I can't walk down the street and see something, you know, on an off chance and say, oh, that reminds me of my mom, or that reminds me of, and get a gift like that. But for holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, that's just sheer torture.
Maybe you're a gift giver in in spiritual ways of wisdom. Hey, I you know, I'm giving you this gift that'll last with you forever, right? Because I was going to ask you this. I mean, every guy, or there's probably a lot of guys out there. I've been single for 7 years. Have dated a girl that they'll probably, oh, she's just in it for, she wants rich dudes or whatever. Which, if you look at it philosophically, hey, like, that's just what they like. Like, you can't not like a girl for wanting to have nice things. That's like me saying, like, I don't, oh, well, what do you look, you know what I mean? Like, we all have our things that we like. And so in the five love languages, yeah, I mean, like, if you're dating someone and they're like, well, I mean, can you, you know, get me a car or something? And you're like, oh, well, that's not my language. I don't speak Russian. And oh, okay, well, then you're not the one. And then, but you can't hate them because they speak Russian or I don't know what language, what would a rich person, like some sort of Eastern or probably Middle Eastern oil money language. But like, that's their language. And you'd be like, okay, you know, that's awesome. Like, I love people that want to have nice, that's great. We're in America. That's good. And I just felt like there's a lot of people out there that kind of like, oh, that's a bad way to think. No, that's how they know how to love. That's like saying, well, don't you like touch and time? Like, that's your, you know, that's my thing is touch and time.
Yeah. And mine is physical touch and acts of service. You know, so when and I'm not condemning anybody for gifts or for speaking different love languages. I've just found that it's much easier to connect with somebody that speaks similar love languages to us. And it's the difference between speaking English and French. You know, can I get fluent in French? Yeah, probably. But it's going to take a long, long time and a focused effort. When you speak the love languages naturally, it's just the energy is just so much different. Right. You connect so much on a much deeper level than trying to always be struggling to speak their language.
And for our viewers out there and listeners, the five love languages are as follows. Words of affirmation. That's nice. You know, it's like those positive little, oh, here's a little piece of candy to eat during your day and make you keep going. Acts of service. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we should all be in service with everyone, for everybody. You know, that makes the world go round. Receiving gifts. Here's pounds of money that I made for you. quality time. Just come sit on it, you know. Come, throw it on my lap. And
physical touch. I'm not sure that quality time is quite meant that way, but we'll go with it.
And physical touch. Like, but then again, guys, do you believe, I mean, in my personal, I'm YouTube educated and Google educated and well, Bing now because Google kind of like hides stuff. I think that can change. What do you think? Like, as you get older, do you think these love languages can change from go back? Like, let's say you make a lot of money and then all of a sudden you want to just get, you know what I mean? Can they change based on your life?
I think they can change. I think they can fluctuate. But my experience is from the first time I took the test to the last time I took the test, and there were several years in between, mine did not change dramatically. You know, the first time I took it, gifts were non-existent. The last time I took it, gifts were non-existent. Physical touch was always at the top of my list. Quality time and words of affirmation moved up or moved down a little bit, but acts of service and physical touch were always my top two. Can they change? Sure. But even, I think we are who we are. And consequently, I think we're pretty stable. You know, when you figure out what you are, one might move up above the other, but yeah, I think overall, you know, it's pretty stable.
What is this, the test that you're talking about, Rick?
Well, if you read the book, The Five Love Languages, and I highly recommend reading it if you haven't already, it's by Gary Chapman, and it's a great book, and it talks about how we naturally communicate with other people. And it's not on a verbal basis, but it's in how we act, what we do. And it's a brilliant, in my opinion, a brilliant book. It's been around for 20 or 25 years. And for all the single listeners, there's a singles edition, but there's a married edition. There's a teenage edition. And you know, for parents, how to talk to their teenagers. And it's the love languages are the same throughout all the different versions of it, but it's how you approach it with in conversations with other people. And from a singles perspective, you read the book, and at the end of the book, there's like a 25 question test. And it's one of those questions that gives you an either or. Do you like this or this? In this situation, do you do this or do you do that? And then you add up all your scores at the end, and it lists out your love languages basically on a hierarchy of what's your greatest love language or your strongest love language, and what's your weakest. And like I said, for me, it's physical touch and acts of service, and gifts are basically non-existent. You know, it doesn't mean I don't give gifts, but it's, you know, like I said, for holidays or anniversaries or birthdays, just tell me what you want. You know, maybe it's more common for a guy to say that. A lot of women are very good at giving gifts, but it's not my primary language.
So relating it to like politics.
Uh-huh.
So would you, because in my opinion, I don't know if I disagree with you or agree with you, but in my thing is, would you say then to be equal, like, you know, how Jesus says equally yoked is good?
Yes.
Would you say a Republican, go with the Republican, Democrat, go with Democrat? Because that doesn't bother me. We've talked about this on the show before. I just think North, hey, we probably think the same anyway. Let's just bring it together. What are your thoughts on like the whole, when you're swiping on Tinder, if you voted for Trump, swipe left. Or if you voted for Hillary or whatever, swipe left. What are your thoughts on politics?
Well, and that's an individual choice. For me, it's a very important choice. But I know folks, and there's folks like you, that politics are not important or not important enough to make or break a relationship. To me, they are. I'm very passionate about politics. I'm very passionate about religion. And so I think you need to, and just depending on what your situation is or what your preferences are, you need to find somebody that's compatible. Because what I try to teach is that the more roadblocks or the more hurdles you take out of the way in a relationship, the stronger your relationship will be on the back end. And that's why I talk about, or I try to teach people how to be more particular or be more picky up front and find those people that match your needs and desires in a relationship, as opposed to just going out and dating and saying, yeah, this guy looks good or this gal looks good. And then 2 or 3 years down the road, you realize, yeah, this just isn't working for me.
But I totally, that's a great way to look at it. And I agree. I think about it sometimes. I wonder if like a Democrat dates a Democrat and they're like, well, you're not Democrat enough. And then like, it makes you like you Democrat, or like a Republican dates a Republican and you kind of like break them apart in like the details. And then you're like, you know what? I don't even want to be one anymore. And then you like, I wonder if that's ever happened too.
Oh, but, I'm sure there is, you know, and it just depends on how important it is to you.
Right. That's a great way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, it's fairly important. It's a deal breaker for me because I don't want to have that battle every day. I don't want to have that confrontation. I was in a relationship where we had some certain socio-political differences, and I found myself walking on eggshells. And you know, because I can be very vocal and very, very opinionated about things. And if I've got to walk on eggshells and guard my language, guard what I say, that doesn't lead to a healthy relationship for me. And so You know, the whole idea is you have to be able to talk about anything and everything. And I've had people say, no, well, we just choose not to talk about it. Well, that's, to me, that's putting a roadblock in the way or a hurdle in the relationship. You can compartmentalize things and not talk about them, but there's going to come a point in time where it's going to become important. So,
for sure. Now, what are the top three things that cause people to basically break up, or what are the top three things that you basically need to know? Like the most important three. I'm just going off three because I'm on a three kick.
Three's a good number. Three's a good number. Most people have problems, number one, because they start dating without knowing exactly what they want. And I teach that you have to have your must-have list. You have to have your deal-breaker list. And you have to have to know what you bring to the table. You have to know what why you're an extraordinary mate, or what makes you an extraordinary mate. And I always ask the question, you know, when people say, well, what makes me an extraordinary, you have to ask the question, are you the person you would love to date? And if you're not, then you got some work to do, you know, and whatever it is. I mean, it could be communication. It could be, you know, for me, I struggle with my weight. I could be 40 pounds lighter, and that, you know, might make a difference to somebody. But whatever it is, you need to, and it makes a difference to me, especially at my age, you want to be healthy for a long, long time.
Right.
You know, so there's, you know, being crystal clear about what you want, because I've learned that probably 90% of people start dating without knowing. They just start wandering aimlessly into relationships. And like I said earlier, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years, you wake up and say, I just wasted all this time with the wrong person. And the idea is to not waste that time, because we're only given a finite amount of time to on this earth to utilize. And if we're wasting our time in the wrong relationship, you know, we could have been spending that time looking for the right one. So
And if you're in the wrong relationship, you know, you're at whatever time you're looking at it, you're not right time mentally, whatever, or you haven't figured these things out, it can cause you to do damage, like that person maybe.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on what makes like committed people cheat? You know, what is there to like look for before or after, you know what I mean? Like,
well, and that goes back to, and I know some people are going to disagree with this, but my both personal experience and study and, you know, research, it shows that typically, and not always, but probably 95% of the cases, 93% of the cases, there's something wrong at home. And it doesn't necessarily make one person bad or the other one bad. It just means that there's something wrong. There's not a connection there. There's something missing, whether it's chemistry, and it's most of the time we don't recognize it. But there's a lack of satisfaction at home, and because if we're taken care of at home, there's no reason to stray. And this applies to both men and women. It doesn't make any difference what which partner it is. If there's something wrong and you're not communicating, you're not sharing, and you're not being satisfied, whether it's emotionally or physically or, you know, whatever it is at home, that's what's going to cause us to stray more times than not. And I'm not going to say that's every case. You know, there are serial cheaters, but they're very, very few. It belongs more in the home and what needs are not being met. And if you can't verbalize or share what's not, you know, what's missing for you, your mate or your spouse can't do anything about it. So, you know, a lack of communication builds up in there too. So,
right.
Rick, what's the age range of people that you normally coach?
Well, I'm normally in the group of 40 and above. The things that I teach are ideal for 18 to 80. My book is appropriate for, you know, from high school all the way up to, you know, 80, 85, as long as you're dating, you know, because it's all practical tips and practical application. I choose to work with generally the 40 and up because of my situation. I'm divorced, and I've talked to a lot of people. You know, typically by age 40, you start seeing people that have been married 20 years, and, you know, and as you move up in age 30, 40 years, and all of a sudden people find themselves divorced through, and it may be through no fault of their own. They may have a partner that just got tired and said, I'm out, I want to do something else. And all of a sudden they're thrown back into the dating world. So that's kind of a long answer to a short question.
No, that's right. Now, do you work with just single people, or do you also work with couples?
I can work with couples, but typically I prefer to work with singles. But if I'm working with a couple, I'm going to work with one or the other. And if you're in a marriage, or if you're in a relationship where you need work on both of you, I move that off to the therapy, or to the therapist, or to the counselor, because they're going to get more into the weeds than I am. I will be the guy that walks up to your relationship. You tell me what's going on, and I'll tell you, okay, this is what you need to do to fix this relationship, or you need to walk away. And more often than not, if it's just a relationship, I'm not talking about a marriage. If it's a relationship where you're just dating somebody, more often it's a walk away from this relationship because it's not extraordinary. It's not a healthy relationship, and you can try to work on it until you're blue in the face. And most of these relationships aren't going to be fixed. You know, they're you just can't fix somebody else. Again, a long answer to a short question.
Oh, it's all right, man.
do you have a how can I say this? Your friends that you know that like that you have opinions on their relationships that are going on like now, and you're like, Steve, okay, man, dude, look, man, you're not in the right place in your head. Okay, you got to put the drugs or something, you know.
Yeah.
And do you like tell these people? Can you see already that you're like this relationship is going to what do they say, hell in some sort of handbasket?
Yeah.
Do you approach the people and tell them something? And these are people that you know, and you're like, leave, you know, be single for a little bit, get to know yourself. You know, what do you do for like people that you actually know, like your friends or family or stuff like that?
Well, if they come to me for advice, if they come to me and start telling me their issues, then I'll step in and say, you know, this is what you need to do, or this is what you need to look for. This is how you handle that situation. If they don't come to me, I keep my mouth shut. You know, they have to acknowledge that they've got issues, because if I have enough experience in life that I know if I just pipe up and say, you know, you need to leave her or you need to leave him, you know, that's an excellent way to destroy a friendship or a relationship. And, so they have to come to me. I'm not, you know, while I can see problems, you know, and probably with my very best friend, he'll tell me some things that go on from time to time, and I'll share, because he goes through some similar things that my ex-wife and I went through, and I'll share my perspective on what's going on. But I'm in his particular case, he's married, and I am very, very, I don't like divorce. Sometimes it's necessary, and I would hate to see him get a divorce. So I coach him on from time to time what to say or what to do, and you know, how to work through certain things. But, you know, it takes two. You know, he can do all the work in the world, and if his wife isn't receptive or isn't an active participant, in trying to make the marriage better, then it's going to crumble regardless of what I say or do. So,
like, where do you get and pull your, I want to say inspiration, that you said that that religion is important to you?
Sure.
Everyone on this show knows I study the Bible so slow. I read it so slow. I literally eat the words and they taste bitter. The paper is bitter. And
yeah.
So where was your inspiration to basically learn about this? Is it because the world's anti-family now and they want everyone to be single and go make that money with, you know, you want the ladies to run things and then to all be, have your own thing. You don't need people. You could just buy your baby. And you're like, no, we need love and humanity to have babies and cherish them and hold them and teach them. What's your inspiration?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's an interesting question, an interesting story. Because it really goes back about 36 or 37 years, because when I first started getting interested in self-improvement, and it started literally from a business perspective, you know, learning how to be a better salesman, because I've been in sales for, oh gosh, over 40 years now. And in one way, shape or form, and just learning about sales. And then it kind of moved into being a better me, a better man, a better husband, a better father. And what I was a financial advisor for over 20 years. And what I came to realize during that time is I was a student of self and relationship improvement. I was never a student of the financial planning business. And that always stuck with me. And I didn't understand why. I mean, I enjoyed the business, but I was always more interested in self-improvement. How could I get better? And probably about 12 or 15 years now, I started to recognize that, you know, if I went out after work for a drink and just sat at the bar, someone would invariably walk up next to me or sit down next to me, and somebody I didn't even know, and they'd start talking to me about their relationship. And it was like, do I have a sign on my back? You know, this guy or this woman doesn't know me from Adam. And they just start spilling their guts about what's going on in their life. And I started recognizing that as kind of a sign from God that this is where I'm supposed to go. And the last couple of years I was a financial advisor. And it was shortly after my divorce, you know, financial planning was not my passion. And I was just fumbling around trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And a friend of mine and I were on the phone. I was sharing this with her, and she paused and asked me, she challenged me. She says, what is your passion? And we talked, you know, we bantered back and forth a little bit, but I took that question seriously. And about a week or so later, we were on the phone again, and I had recognize that after going through my divorce and talking to literally hundreds of people about their relationships and people that have gone through divorces and you know, talking to people that are on dating sites and their stories, I found that we all tend to make mistakes, and they're very similar mistakes. And those mistakes tend for us to be the blinders that go on when we're overwhelmed with infatuation and raging hormones. So anyway, I start sharing these ideas about creating a book, and this gal starts throwing some great ideas back at me. And I paused and I said, why don't you help me write this book? She paused and said, okay. And a couple of days later, we had a working outline, and we are off to the races. And then a couple of months into the writing of the book, it dawned on me, and you know, I can go through and I can point out all the places in my life that God had his fingerprints all over this. And it's it is quite amazing to me, and it's a story in and of itself. But I recognize that, yeah, this is what I want to do when I grow up. And so over the next couple of months, I sold my practice, retired as a financial advisor, and I've been doing this for the last, I don't know, seven years. So I believe it's a journey that God put me on, started me on 36, 37 years ago, you know, by becoming a student of self and relationship improvement, and then just, you know, the life experiences that I've had, and it's all led to this point.
Go get it.
Having as much experience as you do, and you mentioned the dating apps, and Jim mentioned the swiping and stuff earlier. How do you feel about those types of, like, the dating services online and all that stuff?
Well, and I want to make a clarification here. A dating service as opposed to a dating site. Dating services I look as the matchmaker sites. And, you know, and I won't name any names so we don't get in trouble, but the matchmaker stuff I don't believe in. I've never seen a good matchmaker. You know, the Patty, I forget what her name is on TV, or used to be on TV. I don't know if she's still there. She used to do some interesting stuff, and fundamentally I agreed with most of what she says, but there were some things that I disagreed with. So matchmakers, I'm not a big fan of. Dating sites, it's a tool. And they can be a great tool, but it's like any other tool. You have to learn how to use it. And if it's like putting a shotgun in the hands of a 10-year-old at times. And, you know, you can do it, but they're going to blast all over the place. And, you know,
or a 37-year-old just, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Bent on his own throbbing biological urge.
But it is a tool. And, you know, I have a lot of people say, oh, Rick, I'd never do a dating site. Well, you know, they say that some of the statistics show that about 30% of relationships start on dating sites. Well, if you say that you're never going to do a dating site, that's like hiring a carpenter and telling him to leave 30% of his tools in the truck. You know, can he do the job for you? Sure. But, you know, you're handicapping him, and I think you're handicapping yourself. You have to learn how to use it. You have to learn how to be smart. You have to learn to recognize scammers and bogus things. And you have to learn not to fall in love with an online profile. And God knows I've been there. I've done it. You run across the occasional profile and say, oh my God, she's the perfect woman. And you reach out to her and nothing. You know, she doesn't think you're the perfect guy. And that's, you know, that's like driving a stake through your heart. You know, so you can get too wrapped up in this stuff. But it's a great way to meet people that you would never normally meet in your daily walk through life. So, yeah, I use them. And like anything else, you can get burned out on it. You got to take a break. And then you go back and start over again.
Now, I'm not sure if you've ever listened to any of our past episodes, but Jim has a technique that he uses on one of these sites that's called Crazy Right, where if he's going through a town or wherever he's located at that week, where he just, as fast as he can.
Hang on, Case. Okay, because we're speaking business-wise here, okay? So if any sales rep that has ever read any Napoleon Hill or How to Make a Deal or anything on this, a lot of sales is based on numbers. And I mean, I was touring a lot. I'm a musician. I've been all over the country, met multiple times. And I was, you know, hey, I think wherever God wants me to be, I don't do this anymore. I'm not on him. Like, I think wherever God wants me to be, he'll put me there for any, I could be in Arkansas or, you know, uh-huh, wherever it is. And yes, when I was younger, you know, maybe two years ago. Crazy, right? Law of averages. You want, do you only want Pennsylvanian women in Reading? Or maybe you're going out a little far, like Collegeville, Phoenixville, Philadelphia? Yes. Did I do that? I did. We all fall short in the glory of the Lord. But we give into things sometimes. You know, you shouldn't. You know, you pray for yourself and everything. My thing about it is, I spoke about this before, I don't like, I know that you're probably a big proponent of it, and I love what you say. I agree with a lot of your stuff. I'm not a fan of dating. I don't like, because unless you're like, you know, a person and you're like, I like, do you want to eat and get food and drinks? Because we're going to have a blast. We know it already. I actually don't like, and read a lot about dating in the 90s and 2000. And it was this huge propaganda thing to get people not to like be with one person and just get them to meet tons of people, free love. Yeah. Like, and just, you know, women. And,
well, that goes back to the 60s. Come on, guys. Yeah, you know, my era.
I don't like, I'm not a fan of dating. So I just don't see the point to just meeting people immediately and for drinks, because you don't know them. I guess sites can be okay, because if you really talk to them and then call them for a while, you can't stop talking. That's great. But actual just dating, different people, keep the options open, man. Oh, no, just play in the field, you know. For me personally, I'm not, I like one-on-one, big connection, spirit-filled, yes. Like I'm saying, we're talking Bible, reading Daniel together, and the writing on the wall, and they brown their shorts, and you're like, you know what that means? They you know, like, and it's just a good, like, that's the type of connection I like.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that at all. To date around and date casually, I guess if you're looking to, for lack of better terms, if you're looking to get laid, you know, that's okay. But I'm like you. I wanted to develop that connection, and I'm looking for that one special person, that long-term love that I can live the rest of my life with. And to just be bouncing around from relationship to relationship or from date to date, yeah, that's not my idea of fun. There are people out there that do that and teach you how to do that. That's not me. My whole goal is to help you find that extraordinary relationship, that soulmate relationship. And like you, that's what I'm looking for. You know, I do understand the swipe right, because I travel a lot, and I'm in Kansas City and I travel up to Michigan and I travel down to Texas. And, you know, when I'm traveling through, I look to, you know, I'll be on Bumble or something like that. And you know, I'll find interesting women. I'm not swiping right every time. I'm more selective.
You're losing out, man. 30%. Or I think, no, it might be more than that. No. I have a question. Now, you being a relationship coach, are when women, I don't know if you put that on your Bumble thing, but are they like, oh, wait, you're single, but you're a relationship coach. What have you had people say that to you before and saying, what kind of stuff is this?
Oh yeah. And I've had people stop talking to me because of it. They've asked me if I'm there to actually find someone, or if I'm just looking for business. And when they ask that question, I know there's very little potential for a relationship. I met a gal online and we talked a little bit. And the first time we talked on the phone, she asked me what I did, and I told her, and she burst out into laughter. I almost hung up on her. You know, do you really want to insult me by laughing at what I do? Yeah, it's not a great idea. You know, so, but yeah, there are women that are very intimidated by it, and there are other women that are absolutely fascinated by it. Probably more often than not, I get skepticism. I've shared with what I do, and you know, and we're just getting into the beginning of a conversation, and I just say, "Here's my name, Rick Sodabier. Google me." And they say, because I'll say, no, you're not. No, here's my name. Go Google me. And then they come back and say, holy crap, you really are a dating coach. And it's like, you know, one gal says, I've got egg on my face. And I said, no, you just have to see who I am. You know, you just have to see that I'm legitimate. And so, you know, from that perspective, the ones that take my career seriously are the ones that I'm interested in. The ones that don't, yeah, next. And I don't care how pretty or how much we have in common, next.
How long have you been doing this for, Rick?
About 7 years. Published my book back in about 6 years ago, and from then on, it's just been coaching and getting into the coaching world, it's never the journey I expected my life to the path my life. Let me restart that. It's never the path I expected my life to be traveling down right now. So, it's totally awesome. As a financial advisor, I said, yeah, I'd like to retire when I'm 55, 60. And now I don't want to retire because I'm just having a ball. Shortly before this call, I was on the phone with a client and talking through some of his issues. And it was, this is what I was born for.
That's awesome, man.
Being like a single, you're single, right?
I am. Yes. Yeah. I've been divorced for 10 years.
So meeting someone doing the thing and researching it, that's a good, I can see that you would know a lot. And like, I guess you kind of have the feeling of know what you're looking for. A lot of people, and I'm not trying to sound, I'll just sound like a terrible person, but coming from a guy, I'm sure guys the same way, but mm-hmm. I'm a guy talking about the opposite sex. Nobody knows what they want. And I've every person in my, I'd probably, well, I'm 37. I didn't date until I was 23, basically. Well, 22, but anyway, everyone, like no one knows what they actually want. That's why my thing, and I don't care how old you are, even 60-year-olds, that are newly divorced or something tragic happened, and nobody knows, guys, girls, whatever. And in my view, it's been women because I don't really talk about it with guys, but about how their heart is. And I mean, some men I ask, hey man, how's your heart? What's guiding your heart? I do say that, but they don't know what they want. And you can directly ask them, I don't know, they'll have a picture. And like, they're like, it's like this, but I just want to look like that. And I'm like, yo, that's not how life works. Like, God doesn't give you, oh, here's your life. And then I have a white picket fence and dog and four kids. No,
3.2 kids.
Right. He gives you your hands, and you gotta make you and your hands could be bigger and better in that picture, or it could be smaller and more loved, or whatever it could look like, because it doesn't matter. But I feel that no one knows what they want, and it's tough, and that's why my kind of gift that I say that I call it a gift. I mean, I think it's a true gift because you can give money, and that's so momentarily gone.
Yeah.
Or you can give them something that they, a present that could be worthless or whatever. They throw it away. But my thing is, I'm a sinner. I'm flawed. So anything that I give you is going to, that work for me. I don't know if it's going to work for you, but here's what God said.
Yeah.
I'm always like, hey, here's the Bible. And I'll tell you what, guys, I'm not trying to say this sounds terribly, but inherently people want the word so bad. And like that turns people on the most, especially if they're hungry for it. That's like that's the number one thing. And that's, and in a relationship for me, that's like the biggest thing. Like, let's dive deep into this because we're humans. We don't know. And you got to put that above because people kill each other. Just going at each other so much. You got to go at that first. And then, three, Trinity, it brings it together like a triangle because we're in the third dimension. I can rant about this all day, but that's
my view. Do tell.
Right.
Hey, you remember Jimbo, how Tiny Tim, we talked to Justin Martell, the author of the Tiny Tim book. Remember how he used to get women?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. Tiny Tim, not that I've ever done this, but weird things have happened to me exactly like that. But he would read scripture and women would just be, I'm saying, sopping wet, slipping, like, oh, I mean, what they'd be turned on. And that was his thing. But then he was a virgin until he was 36, but he would just do that to just like for the simple fact of like meeting them and seeing, oh, you're into this too, you know?
Yeah.
That was his way of like getting them. But he would read scripture that I don't recommend. I mean, obviously we shouldn't use it. That's blasphemy. But hey, when you do it and they're into it, man, oh, it's a spiritual connection. And
well, and that's exactly right. You know, and what I find women are looking for as much as anything is a spiritual connection, a godly man. And I can't tell you over the years how many women I've talked to that are looking for that. And I just had a conversation with a gal last week about this very thing. She's dating a guy for 10 months and he said he's a good Christian man. He wants to raise his son in a Christian household, but he refuses to go to church. She goes to church every week and tries to bring him along, and he refuses. He's always got an excuse. And you know, that's his only that's her only red flag in the relationship. Everything else is great. And she was heartbroken when I told her that she needs to leave because he's not going to change. You know, it is sad, but women do want that spiritual connection. They want a man, a Christian head of the household. They want him to lead. They want him to be the spiritual leader.
And I've known a lot of Christian girls, and I don't mean to dissuade this or anything, but some Christians, and I say Christian, and like the word unfortunately has been destroyed. I'm saying like the way of the master of Yeshua, Jesus, but it's Christian. It's called Christian now. Like some people ruin it for everybody. Where I'm at the point, and I've always been like this. I'll date whatever your belief, but let's get deep and let's go deep. I'm saying like really deep. I want to go deep about anything, about what you like. Oh, you're an atheist, but you have something. Oh, this is a little weird. Oh, is it? Let's dive into this. Like, cause I love, it's not because I'm Gemini. I like shallow and I like deep. I like mid-level. I like mid-level walk-in, you know, show the abs off in the pool, you know. But then again, you know, you just want to get shallow and I just want to wet my feet a little bit. But then sometimes you just want to dive down and put your feet up and go deep. And I like it all. Case, what do you got?
Rick, Jesus, Jim, you threw me off.
He goes on his little diatribe there. And
I remember now. You said you were on earlier with a client that her husband or boyfriend or whatever doesn't want to go to church with her.
Right.
When you have these clients that are in relationships, does the significant other know that they have a relationship coach?
No, generally not. I mean, they might, but this gal came to me just as, and our connection, our link was basically through email, and she was just sharing her story with me. And for the most part, you know, I try not to drag out coaching too long with anybody. And we shot a couple of emails back and forth, and she ultimately wasn't pleased because I told her that in the first email that she needed to leave because he's not going to change. And then she came back with some compliments. Thank you. And then gave me all these other details. And I said, thank you for the additional details, but it doesn't change my original answer. You know, if anything, it reinforces my original answer. And, and one of the things that I've come to realize, and primarily it came through financial planning, is that some people are coachable and some people are not. And those that are not coachable, you know, I have to say thanks, but this isn't a good fit. And those that are coachable, that are going to listen, that are going to work at my recommendations, those are the folks that I'll work with. Those are the people that I can truly help. You know, if you're uncoachable, and one of the quickest ways to tell if somebody is uncoachable in a conversation is they'll come back with, but he's so good in all these other areas. You know, I really like him. Yeah, so you have these bad parts over here. This isn't going to change. So either you're going to settle for less than extraordinary or you're going to move on. Yeah, but no, no, yeah, buts. It's you got the bad stuff. Either you're going to accept the bad stuff or you're going to move on. It's as simple as that. And it is easier for me to say because I'm looking at it from the outside. I don't have the emotions involved. I want to circle back to Jim, one of your questions about, you know, how do I react to women God, I just lost my point. There's a brain fart.
Real quick.
Happens all the time.
Real quick. Okay. Has this ever happened to you? You're coaching a girl. She's smoking hot. I'm saying 8.5 calf muscles, legs, works out. And she's got a guy. And she's like talking to you like secretly, you know, hey, Rick, yo, he's just not, all of a sudden, just is like, becomes infatuated with you because you're coming across, you know.
Coming across as the stud.
Right. Does that ever happen to you where a girl has then fallen for you? Maybe some things have happened, but then she's like, I just wanted that, you know, one thing. Has that ever happened?
I never let that happen. Yes, I've had clients that have become infatuated with me. You know, it's like falling in love with your doctor, you know, because he saved you or he's done something wonderful for you. I've learned a long time ago that I don't cross that line. And as flattering as it is and as enticing as it is, I never cross that line because it only is going to create problems later on. You know, number one, especially if they're in a relationship, I don't want to be the reason that somebody breaks up. You know, if you're walking out the door and saying, yeah, it's been real and it's been fun. That might be one thing, but I'll never do it with a client.
Right. It would be like a guitar player having a fornication time with his singer. Guys, I don't recommend this.
It's like Stevie Nicks and what was it? Lindsey Buckingham. Yeah, exactly. The whole band. Yeah, it was incestuous.
Well, you know what? Real quick, advice to all the guitar players. We have a lot of musician fans and a lot of hot girl. For our audience, is a lot of hot chicks. I'm saying like beautiful, beautiful, lovely women. I guess don't do it, or if you do it, claim dominance. Get with a singer immediately, then you're in charge, and then it's all your band.
Yeah, that's a little outside my purview. So,
Rick, do you think Jim would be coachable?
I think so. I'd have to talk to him a little bit more, but yeah, I think he's pretty coachable. And one of the reasons I say that is because he's pretty upfront about what he's been through and what he talks about. He's kind of lays it on the line. And I find most people that are willing to for lack of better terms, bear their soul, are very coachable, because they're being honest and upfront and open. So that makes Jim, you're probably coachable.
He's very open. That's for sure.
Now, the flip side of that is I know some very open people or very expressive people that are just, just closed up. And the minute you start digging, you know, it's just like, boom, the door slams shut and saying, no, we're not talking about that. We'll go talk about something more fun.
No, I've been to therapy. I had a tragedy happen years ago, but I went to therapy for a few times. But I've been to therapy three times, like let's just like couple stuff with girls that two girls that I've dated, and I'm not trying to sound, this sounds terrible every time, but see, in all my, I'm way too honest in all my relationships, like everybody knows everything. Yeah. And then whenever we go somewhere, I'm not trying to, guys, if I can give advice to anybody, just be totally upfront with everything immediately. As soon as it happens in your mind, say, hey, this got in my mind somehow and put it out there, because that's when the sin starts. The sin starts in your mind, and once you keep it in, that's when things happen that you don't want. So communicate and all that stuff, because then the relationship can filter it out. But every one I went to, the psychologist was like, oh, well, and they'd always go to the girl. Well, you know what he's like. Like, well, then why are you staying with, it was always kind of like, Jim, you know, that's good of you to say. I was always I'm not saying I was right. It wasn't about right or wrong. It was about, you both know this about each other. Why aren't you doing what you actually noticed? You know what I mean? It was kind of like that. I wasn't right. It's just, I was more upfront. That saved yourself in front of a therapist. So if you ever want to look good in a therapist, just be totally honest about everything. And the therapist will be like, hey, you're the problem, not him. not that I'm saying it's a win-win. It's not about being right. It's about just being upfront. But real quick, so dude, thanks so much for being on, Rick. It was such a good time just talking to you, having free debate, talk about stuff, you know, whatever flies in my head immediately.
This has been good. I can't believe it's an hour has flown by already.
Yeah.
So what, to leave the listeners, I just love having somebody leave them with something. What can you leave by, as my dad said, with an advice, like something to put in your pocket to keep with you for a while. And like once in a while you'll pull it out and you're like, oh yeah, I have this thing. What's something that you could give, like a tip to single people, to couples, to anybody, that, you know, just a good source to keep up, to know what to look for and to know how to keep it?
Absolutely. The thing that I tell everybody is go back to the very basics. And you had mentioned it earlier that nobody knows what they want when they start dating. And what I try to teach people is to make your must-have list. And this is a list of non-negotiable characteristics. And I mean non-negotiable. If you have a list of 20 items on this list, and somebody comes up and has 19, the first word out of your mouth should be next. Because the minute you accept somebody with 19 of your 20, you're settling. So that's what I encourage everybody to do. Get crystal clear about what you want and what your deal breakers are. That will be the greatest thing that you can do to prevent toxic relations or getting involved in toxic relationships or relationships that are just mediocre, because you can step back out of the infatuation and raging hormones and take a look. Does he have this? Does she have that? Do they have everything on your list? If they don't, then it's time to move on. And I contend that you can figure out whether somebody is worth pursuing further in 30 days or less. It's that simple. And if you get caught up in the infatuation, you can go literally years in the wrong relationship and then wake up one day and say, what the heck am I doing here? So that would be my key tip or my key takeaway from tonight. Get crystal clear on what you want in your relationship and your list. And a lot of people, you know, and I'm sure Jim, you've done this and Casey, you've asked people what they want in a relationship and they say, oh, I want somebody that's honest. I want somebody that's loyal. Okay. Who wants to be with a cheater and a liar? Really? Give me some meat here. You know, it's you know, what really are you looking for? So they have to put some thought into it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, like when you said the 19 out of 20, I definitely dated somebody for probably about 2 of 20. And then I was like, okay, hot, rocking bod, 2, got her, good enough for me, getting better. You know what I mean? At least if you know what, maybe – I don't know if I would do 20, like it has to be perfect. I would try to go climb the ladder. You know what I mean? Oh, she's got 5, you know? And then the next one, oh, 7. Okay. Then you get like 11 and you're getting up there slowly. You know what I mean? Cause I try to be merciful and, you know, allow, okay, all right. You know, you don't believe in Bigfoot yet. We're getting there. Okay. We're getting there.
Rick's talking about, though, if you want a long-term relationship, he's not talking about climbing a ladder of different women.
Exactly, Casey. Yeah, it's like, yeah, this is that's for those of us that are serious about finding that soulmate. Jim, what you're talking about there is that, yeah, keep yourself available, and yeah, just, I'll date her, and
no. Oh, well, I guess I came off like that. You see what I mean? Like, hey, love language is changing all the time. I'm just, you know.
Well, Rick, this has been fun, man. Tell everyone where they can find you and all that good stuff.
Great. Yeah, thank you. It's been a hoot. I've enjoyed it. You can find me at ricksodabeer.com, and that's R-I-C-K, S like Sam, O-E-T-E-B-I-E-R.com. And on there, I've got my book, Dating Backward, A Practical Guide to Dating and Finding Your Soulmate. It's under the resource section. And it's also available on Amazon as a paperback, and they're in as a Kindle and in e-reader. So it makes it a little more convenient. It's a great book, if I do say so myself, because we talk about creating your must-have lists and whatnot, and then we talk about the four cornerstones of great relationships, and I'm not going to tell you what they are until you go buy the book. Then we dive into communication, because communication is so important. And we devote 2.5 chapters to communication. Then we also talk about toxic relationships. You know, we talk a little bit about narcissism, how to recognize codependency, emotional immaturity, because those are all things that you should have a clue about, so that when the red flags start popping up, that you can bow out gracefully and say, yep, this isn't the right relationship. So pick up a copy of the book, Dating Backward. Then if you go to my website, you can also, on the very front page, all of your listeners can grab a copy of The 5 Biggest Dating and Relationship Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. It's a PDF. It's free. You just click on the button, put your name in, your email address, and boom, it's in your email box in a couple of seconds. And it's a great resource. If you don't want to buy the book, at least you get the freebie. Then I'm on Facebook at Rick Sodabeer Coach. And you know, like my page, and you can get my daily tips, insights, and inspirations in your newsfeed. I have a YouTube page. Just go to Rick Sodabeer, and it'll come up. And then all my blogs, I write a blog. I release a blog every Thursday, and the blog is in both in written form and recorded, and it's on YouTube. So however you want to consume that, you can read it, you can download it or listen to it on YouTube, or listen to it as, I guess, the audio portion of it, and you know, while you're driving. And they're typically 5 to 6 to 8 minutes long. You know, just dating tips and relationship tips to help you make better decisions about who you're dating and the relationships you're getting into. That's the only social media I'm on. So, and if you want to get a hold of me for coaching, I do a 30-minute free consultation, and then we can discuss whether you're coachable, whether you're not, and if you're a good fit, we can figure out how to go about coaching from there. And I'm not a big fan of coaching you for a long time. 2-3 sessions, I'm thinking you should be pretty well off and running. And then you can come back from time to time and tell me how you're doing, or ask me questions if you run into problems. But, you know, it's just try to keep it short and sweet. So.
Awesome, man. Well, there you go, Jim. You get your 30-minute consultation there.
I get my 30 minutes every day when I'm praying. I'm like, all right, guys, you know, what do you want me to do? I'm meditating. I get coffee, and I'm ready to go.
There you go.
All right, man. Well, this has been fun. We appreciate it. And everyone, they can follow us on Twitter at On The Road With Jim. It's On The Road With J3 on Twitter. And on Instagram, we're On The Road With Jim and Casey. And you can find us on Facebook at On The Road With Jim and Casey. So thanks again, man. We appreciate it.
Rick, hey, thank you, guys. This has been a good evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man.